emotions, when you hear these words, will tend to determine our behaviors. Some people want to go on cruises, others don't. Some like to go camping, others don't, based on their interpretations of what that means. Same experience. So our beliefs do affect, they do influence our lives and our choices, the choices we make. There are two kinds of beliefs. Only two kinds of beliefs. Conscious beliefs and unconscious beliefs. And simply put, a conscious belief is something we know is a belief. It could be a religious belief. It could be a belief in a style of dance or martial art that we practice. It could be a belief about money, about religion, about spirituality, about men or women. But we know it's a belief. It's conscious. We go, well, this is true for me. It may not be true for you, but it's true for me. This is my belief, my opinion about this. The second kind of belief is an unconscious belief. What makes it unconscious? We mistake it for truth, with a capital T. We don't say, this is my belief. We say, this is what's true. Do you get the difference? This is the source of fundamentalism. And I don't just mean religious fundamentalism. I mean cooking school fundamentalism, sports fundamentalism, English teaching fundamentalism. Anybody who says, this is the way to do it, and any other way is misguided or wrong. Conscious beliefs and unconscious beliefs. This is an email I received about a year ago. Hi, Dan. I was at your seminar in Scottsdale. I was there with my husband and four friends. You may have noticed that six people got up and left after you had been speaking for about 20 minutes. I wanted to let you know why, if you were interested. We had free tickets to this event. Bad sign right there. But none of us knew very much about you. We were not aware that you teach that, quote, sin is geographical, unquote. Actually, I was quoting Bertrand Russell. I was giving a talk on spiritual laws, how they're universally apply across every domain to every culture, but human laws and ideas of morality change from time to time, different eras and different countries. And I quoted George Bernard Shaw, who said sin is geographical. I thought it was a cute quote. But they were assuming I was teaching that, among other things. All of us there are Christians and believe that sin is definitely not geographical. Sin is sin, and it's as simple as that. You can discover this for yourself if you would read the Bible. It was very obvious that most of the people there that night were very hungry for some answers. I am saddened that they are being so completely misled. The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. I suggest that you read the book entitled More Than a Carpenter. This book clears up any doubt that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. I didn't know I had been denying that, but I hope that you can find some answers in the Word. I wish I could have spoken with you personally that night. I want you to know that you are in my prayers, and I hope that you will come to know the Lord Jesus as I know him and ask him into your life. He wants so much for you to invite him into your life. This was a very sincere, good-hearted person, obviously. I wrote her back and thanked her for writing me that, and also that she would be in my prayers too. And I meant it quite sincerely. By the way, she might be right. You know, she might be right. The point is, she had a very clear view and measured everything against that view. And she missed a pretty good lecture that would have maybe built some bridges for her if she'd stayed. But they heard something that plugged them in, boom, and left. That's the fundamentalism. That's unconscious beliefs. And I've received many, many letters from people who were fundamentalists, raised in fundamentalist environments, and later on they realized that there is spirit all around us, and there are many different paths to spirit. But they had to be deprogrammed, in a sense, of what they'd been drummed into them. And they realized that their beliefs were right for them, but not right for everyone else. So these are some of the problems of mind, beliefs, interpretations, and filters that we look and hear through. When someone says something to you, when your spouse, you go home, your spouse or partner says something to you, or a teacher or a boss, listen carefully to what they're saying, to what they mean, not what you mean about what they said. A very interesting exercise, you can do it on your own with a spouse or partner. You look at them, you sit facing them very closely, and you observe one another's face. And you practice speaking objectively, not subjectively, like what their face means to you, but you speak objectively, describing their face. So if you said, you're very handsome or interesting looking, that's subjective. That's your interpretation. But what you practice doing is you describe their face as you see it. One eyebrow is slightly higher than the other. They're very bushy. The nose is this way and the eyes are this way. And there's a sheen from the forehead and there's a heavy beard. Objectively. And it's so easy to slip into subjective interpretations. Oh, and it looks so cute. Or whatever. And you learn to speak and listen very carefully. Another exercise in objective listening is to repeat what someone says to you. Repeat it back to them, which many therapists do, for example, so you know if they heard you right or if you heard them right. Did you say this? They may go, no, I didn't say that. I said this. And you start to improve your communication skills. These are the basic things. Learning to see objectively, describe objectively, and listen objectively. It can help tremendously in relationships. And people start feeling heard rather than off somewhere. In fact, Gene Kerr once said, I tried communicating with you, but you were so absorbed communicating with yourself, the line was busy. You may relate to that. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, see, this is not a spiritual master, this is a president. But he said, we are not prisoners of fate, but only prisoners of our own minds. Julius Caesar suggested, as a rule, what is out of sight disturbs people's minds more seriously than what they can see. My favorite, though, is Mark Twain, who said, I've had a great many troubles in my life, most of which never happened. You see, there are two realities, two worlds we live in, subjective and objective. Objective, to some extent, is what's around us, what's happening, what is, what's arising. And the other reality is our subjective reality, what we think and interpret about that. Life gets a lot simpler when you just accept reality as it unfolds rather than it should be this way, it should be that way, why is this, why is that? And that's what the mind tends to do. It gets in the way.